And a short little study I wanted us to look at tonight, focusing on Christian rules of engagement in the war against terrorism. Christian rules of engagement in the war against terrorism. You know, sometimes I think I just asked for it. Have you ever noticed that? Okay. Rule number one, return to the Lord. Rule number one, return to the Lord. Now, let me explain about the war on terrorism that I'm speaking of. Every family, every parent, every kid, grandkid, have to deal with terroristic activity in their life. Whether they're terrorized by a bully at school, whether in the workplace they are terrorized by individuals within the workplace, in the families. I mean, I got family members that I'm terrorized of. I mean, they scare me to death the way they look. They, you know, just look at them. They're frightening. Terror. Yeah, I noticed that. So, but there is terror everywhere in our life, isn't it? You know people that terrorized of getting shots? Yeah, big, tough Marines coming through the line and all going to pass out right on the floor. What's the matter with them? He's afraid of needles. Well, do you all remember when they changed to the gun and that they would line us up for the shots with the gun, and they were trying to do it so fast that it would actually just cut you, you know, blood. I was ready to go back to the needle any time. I didn't want to leave the needle, but the people that were afraid of the needle was afraid of the gun. They had that gun, and after I saw enough blood letting from using the gun, I wasn't too excited about having it done either. They gave you all the shots together, remember? That's what it seemed like, yeah. You don't get to eat until you take a shot. So what you and I need to understand about terrorism is life itself is going to show us the terrors of existence as a human being. Some people are afraid to stay alone. Other people are afraid to stay with somebody. Some people are just afraid, period. Other people are afraid of the darkness. Yeah, I've never had, whether it be Vietnam or Dominican Republic or anywhere else, I never had even the first problem with fear until I walked through Vine Grove Baptist Church at midnight that night. Yes. I've told that I don't know how many times to folks, but this is the spookiest place I believe I have ever heard. Well, the sad thing about that was I told on myself when I kept hearing somebody talk, and I determined to go around and find out who was in the church, so I start walking back that aisle, tracking down that voice in his Webster's office with me preaching. Or he had downloaded the tapes. I really scared myself. That was terror. So what you and I need to remember, no matter what it is that's going against us, no matter what the situation in our life, here are the rules for us engaging terrorism. Rule number one, return to the Lord. Malachi 3:7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, and what way shall we return? Now, I want you to think about this in Malachi. From the time that, and he's talking about time of the fathers, from the time that Moses led Israel out of bondage, the very day that he started leading them out, they started griping and grumbling. And they rebelled against God. I'm talking about the Hebrew nation, rebelled against God time and time again. When God would free them, they rebelled against him. They wanted to be enslaved. And all the prophets are saying, doesn't matter, seem to matter what I do, it's a prophet speaking for God. For you rebel against it. If I give you more, you rebel because it's not enough. If I feed you, then you rebel because it's not the food that you want. So from the beginning of age, man has rebelled against God. Now, think of that. We rebel against the only one who truly loves us continually. James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What was he talking about on double-mindedness? Here, James, this is a half-brother to Jesus. James is focusing on individuals that came into the church that were double-minded. Well, today they believe that Jesus was the Savior of their life and that Christianity it was it. Tomorrow somebody convinced them of another thing. The next day somebody's convinced them another way. Double-minded. Double-minded individuals, as James will tell you, are unstable in all their ways. A person that cannot understand the one-way Jesus focus of Christianity will remain double-minded in everything they do. Do you ever see somebody that would talk about, well, when I get this, when I get a, oh, I get a lot of friends that said, when I get a certain degree, then it'll be over. And most of them are still going to school. And it's never because you just, well, I'm not satisfied. I can't do that. Then they get the job they think they want. They're not satisfied with that job. We human beings, if there's not terror out there, we will create it. We'll make something up in our mind to be afraid of to keep from following God. Sad. And yet it's a fact. Christian rules of engagement. Folks, before you ever begin to do anything, and when it deals with a problem that's in your life, you return to the Lord, meaning go to him in prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not walking with Christ at the time. You remember me telling you one time, feelings of uplifting strength that you can have is go back to the place where you said yes to Jesus, if you can, to remember the time you said yes to Jesus and remember the feeling that you had. So every time you start doubting, every time the problem's going to come, remember, if you can't go there, remember, I know, I don't know what age it was. I don't know where it was exactly. I can't remember. I know. Okay, go back to the I know. Because you're talking about there's a time in your life where you know there's been a change. Now, if an individual comes to me and says, I can't remember a feeling of really accepting Christ, then we've got a problem. But because they are bothered by it, it's an easy problem to remedy, because we can make a brand new memory right then and there. So draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Does that not tell us that when we feel that God is at a distance from us, it is us that we that are a distant from him? If I'll draw near to God, God said, I'll draw near to you. Maybe it would be wiser for us when we get out in a world of terror all around us, that we walk with the Lord, just like his book tells us we need to. Now, whatever you do, don't try to get ahead, which is our tendency. Let me lead you, Lord, and show you, what a good Christian I am. And don't fall too far back. You walk with Christ. And let me tell you, people say, well, what position do you take? Whatever position the Lord tells you to. Rule number two. Recognize who the enemy is and is not. Recognize who the enemy is and is not. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Okay, then how come we get angry with flesh and blood person? The person that we see, I'm having a very difficult time with of all the people, I can't remember. The guy that had the three girls hostage for the 10 years. Castro. Why can't I remember Castro? I remember when he came. Anyway, when I think of that and the bitterness that I have inside, okay, why am I looking at him with a bitterness? Because I see, that's all I can see with is him personally. I can't see the evil that's on the inside. I know that he is evil from the beginning. He's evil all the way through. You can't have, folks, you cannot say, well, he had a hard life. He hadn't had a hard life at all compared to the life he's getting ready to have in prison. I can tell you that one. But, you got to understand him. No, I don't. I know evil. But see, I will take it out on that personality like any of us will do that. What do we need to do? We need to look at the spiritual makeup of a animal like that, of an individual that completely is so depraved. That way, we look at that type of evil. You and I then can look in sin and see what God sees and why God's mad at sin, because of what it does to his creation. When people say God, and when you see the scripture that says God hates sin, he hates sin because of what sin does to us. Everyone is given the choice, and everyone is getting, doesn't it bother you when they say, well, you know, I was just beside myself. You know, well, you know, it's just something that happened, and I didn't aim to do it. 10 years, you know, that yes, sir.
Yes, yeah.
She was, I guess it was today, she was back there on the tearing down of the house. And that was part of his sentence. Yeah, he had to pay for the house to be demolished. Or did you all hear the rest of that story? The construction crew that was demolishing it refused to take the money. And then some other group that was there, they refused to take the money. All they wanted to do was wipe that place out, which I think was great and tremendous on all of them. So they're giving the money to the county or something to do something good within the community, because no individuals would take the money because it was his money. He was required by court to pay for the demolition. If we don't recognize the enemy, though, folks, do we not understand that if our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's Ephesians 6:12, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, for those of you who went through the study that I did, focusing on when you step through the door and the angels are escorting us into heaven, which is the biblical fact, why would they? Because according to Scripture, the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Well, what are the heavenly realms? The heavenly realm is the spiritual realm between here and the place of God's abode. We do know as Christians there's a war, spiritual warfare continuing to rage. And sometimes we forget it because we think that it's, well, you know, it's a little sci-fi for me to think that. I remembered it was sci-fi for me to think that I could have a phone on my side and said, beam me up, Scotty, too. Scotty probably can't beam me up yet, but it's not going to be long the way it's looking. So you think of that, okay. Even though it is evil driving them, the anger for us is still with the vehicle or that person, right? Okay, we get angry in many ways because we see a little bit of ourselves giving in to the evil of the world, and we don't know how to strike back at something we can't see. And then through our life as Christians, we understand something. It's not my job to strike back at it. It is my job to recognize it. Spiritual evil, Satan's power. To recognize it for me is to call upon God to protect me through it. Now, if I'm looking at a human being and saying, well, you know, he don't look that tough. And you know, you go ahead and say, well, you can handle a situation or any of this. You don't know what kind of dynamite, you don't know what type of evil is inside that individual. God does. So God says, trust me. If you notice, he did tell us to trust him through the good times and the bad times. But don't you dare go to war against terror of any form in your life without first going to God. Rule number three, big rule. Do not be ashamed of your relationship with Jesus as Lord. The thing that'll get you whipped out there in the world faster than anything else is leaving Jesus out of your life. If you are ashamed and will not let people know that Jesus is Lord of your life, why would you expect to be delivered? You're selling God. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean any of that. But you're not allowing him to be Lord. You're not allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You're going to take it all into your own hands. Do you remember the scripture that let us know, don't repay somebody for evil that they've done to you? Because if you do, God will withdraw his hand of correction against them. If you start to take up for yourself, or if you start to get at someone because of your anger, and you're going to get them because of something bad they've done to you, God said, fine. What you're going to do is not going to work, and I will withdraw my hand of judgment because you've taken it into your hands. Do not do that, folks. If you're going to stand up and do anything, you better make sure God tells you to stand up. If God didn't tell you to stand up, somebody's going to knock you down. Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I do not want Jesus being ashamed of me. And Jesus won't be ashamed of me. I know, because I'm not ashamed of his name. Now, Christians, remember, you've heard me say this many times. I think it's important for us. Do not go out there as a religious individual using the secular God name. Oh, you know, I believe in God. I believe in God. It's always a little g, because, folks, it is through Jesus Christ that you have seen God the Father. And looking at Jesus Christ, the disciples realized that the only way they could see God from the human eyes was God incarnate as a human being. They could never look upon God. But we must remember, don't ever be ashamed of the name Jesus. Is it not the hardest thing? You listen to people talk to you, because they will use the generic God. And I believe this. Now, there's a lot of I don't believe, because I think man sort of got in there and tainted it. And all you got to mess when you get into those type of individual personality. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The light that we are to shine is always the light of Christ, right? Always allow it to shine. Always. Said, no, Jesus is my Savior. You do that. Well, that'd get you like such as Josh going off to college, or any of the other kids going off to college. Always worry about them, because I remember the old story of the kid that went to college. I said, don't worry, Brother Larry. Nobody knows I'm a Christian, so I can't embarrass Jesus. And you got to watch that, because that's exactly what can happen. People will not use the name Christ, will not use Jesus' name, because they want to fit in. Best to my recollection and all the studying I've ever done, Jesus never quite fit in, did he? The church never quite fit in. The only church that would fit into most communities was the church that would be a secular church, meaning you got enough of the world in the church. Don't worry about it. We'll draw big crowds, and nobody will know we're Christians anyway. Rule number four, place your full hope and trust of victory in God. Again, it gets about that human nature of us saying, no, Lord, let me help you. Would you please quit trying to help God? He's quite capable of handling himself. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. If I'm going to have a low countenance, then what I need to understand is I need to pick up the countenance of God. I need to have the power of God's look upon me. Every husband knows the power of the wife's look when we've done something wrong or, you know, any of that. We know that look. I wonder why that we men, husbands, never had a look. I guess it's because that as soon as we'd start to develop our look, their look was that much greater. Whatever. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't do it yourself. Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Woo! Isn't that great? Last scripture, Deuteronomy 20, verses 3 and 4. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The only, I'll use religion lightly here, the only religion, as the world would look at us, whose God fights for us is the Christian relationship. All the other religions, notice it, then those individuals have to fight for their God. They have to stand up, go to battle, kill other people. Let's go get rid of all the Christians, and that way we can be at peace on earth and all of this stuff. Think of that. Yet we have the God who says to us, would you quit fighting like the shadow boxer, fighting your own shadow in the air? I've already conquered life. Accept the life that I've conquered for you.